Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, November 28th, 2021, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It is very hard today to hear the grace gospel. And the grace gospel, grace and faith, go together. For by grace you are saved through faith. Notice what Ephesians 2 does not say. It doesn't say, for by grace you are saved through your works. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Boasting is arrogance, it's self-righteousness, you're impressed with who and what you are and all that you are doing, like the Pharisee and the tax collector. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector. But I'm doing all these good works. No one will be in heaven because of their good works. It's by the grace of God. Who does all the work? All the work was accomplished by Christ when he was on the cross. God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, imputed them to Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. And then God the Father judged the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, in Christ. Once and for all. All the work was done right here. And Jesus Christ cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross. So that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, God imputes his righteousness to you and declares you justified, vindicated, righteous, and gives you the gift of eternal life. Salvation is by grace. Grace means God does all the work. We receive the benefit. And what goes with grace? Faith, not works. Now, there are so many different false gospels. Every time there's a salvation is by works, that's a false gospel. And today, that's about all you hear is you hear false gospel after false gospel after false gospel. And not one of those people will wind up in heaven following that, following a salvation by works. So I'm going through and defining this in detail, so you know it in detail. You can't be sloppy about the gospel. Too many Christians are totally sloppy when it comes to the gospel. You cannot be sloppy. You have to know the grace gospel, and you have to know false gospel, which is any system of salvation by works. Now we've come to the fourth category of salvation by works. Every system of salvation by works is a false gospel. The fourth category of salvation by works, behavioral works. Behavioral works. Such as salvation by morality. Morality. Morality has to do with the laws of divine establishment. I'm not, nothing wrong with being moral. See, some of you are saying, okay, well, I can be immoral. No, not saying that at all. Morality has to do with the laws of divine establishment, but it's not the basis of salvation. Unbelievers can be very moral. And I've known unbelievers that are far more moral than most Christians. And I've told you, Debbie's dad was one of the nicest, goodest, moral people ever. I mean, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. And Debbie would give the gospel, he'd say, I don't want to hear it. He would come here to visit Debbie. I don't think they were coming to visit me, but they were coming to visit Debbie. And they always came to Bible class. And they always sat in the back. They sat right back there where Harlan and Joy sit. That's where all the negative people sit back there. Sat right back there, and he would turn beet red. He absolutely beet red. But he heard the gospel, he heard the gospel, he heard the gospel, he heard the gospel, he heard the gospel. And after a class, he would come up and say, Rich, that was a real nice speech. I said, man, okay. And then he'd go back and see Deb, and Deb'd say, Dad, I don't want to hear it. Her dad was very moral. But no one is going to be in heaven because you're moral. Unbelievers can be moral, but they're not saved. Salvation by personality change. You need to change your personality. Now, for a lot of people, a change in their personality would probably be desirable. But it's not going to mean you're going to wind up in heaven. There's salvation by keeping taboos. If many think you can't really be saved if you drink, smoke, dance, wear makeup. Now, you get back in the Midwest, this is really a big deal. Don't wear makeup. I'm glad we're not in the Midwest. That's scary when women don't wear makeup, let me tell you. Almost feel like we ought to have a broom out here they can get on. There's nothing wrong with makeup. It's not a sin to cosmeo. By the way, did you know that cosmetic comes from cosmeo? Cosmos? The cosmic system? Nothing wrong with... Now, on women. You have to... You know, you never used to have to say that. But you have to say it now, I guess. The fifth category of salvation by works. Emotional works. Such as salvation by speaking in tongues. You're not saved unless you speak in tongues. And when I was at Washington State University, there was a big Pentecostal group, and this one guy came to my room and he said, "Dick, do you want to go up on the hill? I'm going to go." And it was night. It was night, and there was like a full moon. And he said, "You want to go up? I'm going to speak in tongues." I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know what it was, but it just, what do we have to do? Why do we do it at night? Why do we have to go up on the hill with a full moon? I didn't know anything about this. I didn't even know what tongues was. I've eaten tongue. When we went hunting, we always cut the tongue out. That was great. Well, my favorite still, I love beef tongue. I love it. But it's not speaking in tongues. So I went over to Pastor Breckel. Pastor Breckel put up with me. I said, "Ron," this fella came up and he had a kind of a strange look in his eye and wanted to take me up on top of the hill at night with a full moon and speak in tongues. "What is that?" He said, "Did you go?" I said, "No, it sounded too scary to me." He said, "Well, God was protecting you." He says, "No one's spoken in tongues since 70 A.D. "No way. What the hell's he doing it for then? No one has legitimately spoken in tongues since 70 A.D. The gift of tongues was a temporary spiritual gift. The doctrine of spiritual gifts, there are permanent spiritual gifts, there are temporary spiritual gifts. The temporary spiritual gifts stopped. And most of them stopped by the completion of the canon of Scripture. But the permanent spiritual gifts continue on throughout the dispensation of the church age. The gift of tongues was a temporary spiritual gift at the beginning of the church age. And it was designed to evangelize the Jews in Gentile languages, giving the gospel to the Jews in Gentile languages, because they were all spread out over the Roman Empire. And it's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28. It was a warning of the coming of the fifth cycle of national discipline, where people allege that speaking in tongues, or the second blessing, they call it, and I feel sorry for them because they only have working on number two. I have 40, 50. But they're only working on two. People who allege that speaking in tongues or the second blessing is necessary for salvation, they're usually very, very emotional people. And oftentimes under demonic influence, not possession, but demonic influence. The second emotional works is salvation through feeling saved. You have to feel saved or you're not saved. You ever have anybody tell you that? And this is where Campus Crusade for Christ at WSU, they had this nailed. Anybody involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, you had the four spiritual laws. And in the four spiritual laws, you would have a train. And the engine would be faith. And the caboose would be feelings. And the train will run with or without the caboose. What's the issue of salvation? Faith in Jesus Christ. Whether the caboose is on or not doesn't make any difference. It still runs by faith in Christ. Whether you have feelings and emotions or whether you don't. And everybody's different. Everybody's different. I gave the gospel to my brother Don, and I love my brother Don. He was one of the best football players I ever saw play football. And I had him come to my room at Stevenson South and sit down. I said, "Don, are you a Christian?" He goes, "I think so." I said, "What do you mean you think so?" "Well, Before every game, I pray that I don't get hurt. Yeah? And that makes you a Christian? Well, I don't know. I thought maybe it did. It doesn't even if you prayed, I don't care if I get hurt, doesn't make you a Christian, you know. So I gave him the gospel. He was sitting there on my bed in my room, and I gave him the gospel. My brother is a math major, computer. In computers and math major. He's very objective and bing, 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 bing. I gave him the gospel and he goes, okay. Now what do I do? What do you mean now what do you do? Well, I believed in Jesus Christ that he paid the penalty for my sins on the cross. You just believed in Christ? Yep. Now what do I do? You want to go to church with me? There's a great church here, a great pastor. He just tells it like it is. He just teaches the Word of God. He says, okay. And he went. That's a math major. That's a computer scientist, see. Then, I'm driving from Pullman to Spokane, about 78 miles, with my brother Mike, and I'm giving the gospel. And as I'm giving I gave the gospel to him, and he cried and started to cry. And cried and cried for 78 miles. He cried all the way from Pullman to Spokane. He cried, and I'm going, oh crap! I didn't know if he believed in Christ or not. Cried for 78 miles. Well, he believed in Christ, and it was so much emotion involved with it. All he could do was cry. And several days later, he told me, "I'm sorry, I was so emotional and cried, but." I did believe in Christ. I want you to know I believed in Christ, and thanks for giving me the gospel. Well, both of them are saved. And that's where that four spiritual laws and the train, the engine is faith, faith in Christ. That's the basis of salvation. Whether the caboose is on, whether emotions are there or not, is a non-issue. It might be there, it might not be there. So this false gospel alleges if you don't feel saved, then you're not saved. And you have to have some emotional experience or the rosy glow experience. The sixth category of salvation by works is corporate works. Corporate works. This is such as you have to join the church. And if you don't join the church, then you're not saved. That's a false gospel. You don't have to join the church. The only reason for becoming a member of a local church is to give you the franchise, give you the right to vote. We have congregational meetings and we vote on things, and to give you that right of voting, why you become a member. And if anybody is interested in becoming a member, just talk to one of the deacons and they'll be glad. The only issue is... are you saved? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation? And do you respect the authority of the pulpit? And then you're good to go. So corporate works, false gospel is that if you don't join the church, then you're not saved. A second one is tithing, that if you don't tithe, you're not saved. Now, let's make something real clear here about tithing. That's not even for the church age. Tithing is not even for the... We live in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. Tithing is in the Old Testament scriptures. It's not even for this dispensation. Tithing was commanded in the Mosaic Law as a 10% income tax. A 10% income tax for... the nation Israel. Tithing has no spiritual connotation, either for salvation or for blessing. And it has nothing to do with giving. There is a principle of giving. It's grace giving. We took an offering before the second class. And all grace giving, all giving is by grace. If you're not motivated by the filling of the Spirit and by the Word of God in your soul that has developed your love for God, well then, you have no business giving at all. Just don't give at all. Don't give at all until you understand what the spiritual life is, that you live by the filling of the Spirit. We're commanded, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you live the Spirit-filled life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God and the Word of God will motivate you to offer a spiritual sacrifice to God the Father. And grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice that believers give to the Father. And that's Hebrews chapter 13. So grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice offered by the royal family of God from the privacy of your own priesthood. But if you're not motivated by the grace and power of God, then don't worry about it. It's a non-issue. Don't give anything until you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then it will be totally by the grace and power of God. The seventh category of salvation by works are psychological works. Psychological works. This is coming forward. A lot of times you have invitations at the end of a service. Raise your hand, walk down an aisle, give a public testimony to your faith in Christ. These are jumping through psychological hoops. It is psychology. It's not the grace gospel for salvation. These make an issue of yourself and call attention to yourself, but salvation is designed to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. It puts the spotlight on Christ. And that's why the grace gospel that we have out here, the little purple book, the title is God's Gift of Love to the World, Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of that little gospel booklet is to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. And you're welcome to take as many of those as you want. I have no idea how many have gone out all over the world. Every time we print them, we print 10,000, and we've printed it many, many times. Jamie and Clay can tell more how many times we've had it printed, but 10,000 at a time, and they go out and go out and go out. Right now, Jerry's got a friend that is getting the gospel booklet and taking them all over Africa. And lately, the last country was Uganda. They're in Uganda, they're in Cameroon, they're in Nigeria, Liberia, Uganda. He's taking them all over Africa. They've gone all over. Joshua Kudur, who I went to Dallas Seminary with from India, and a grace man all the way. And when he graduated from Dallas and went back to India, he started establishing churches, and he's from Andhra Pradesh, which is one of the poorest states in India. He was an untouchable. And his testimony was that God touched an untouchable. And all over Andhra Pradesh, the little purple booklet, God's Gift of Love to the World, Jesus Christ, has gone all over Andhra Pradesh. And we've gotten pastors there because Joshua has established churches throughout India. We get contact from pastors there. They know Joshua. They are now pastoring churches, and they've asked for gospel booklets to be sent to them to continue to give them throughout India. So that is the grace gospel. You're welcome to take as many as you want and give them to people when you're witnessing for Christ. It is grace. It is the grace gospel. If they believe what everything there is just the scripture passages in the Bible that talk about salvation. That's all it is. It's exactly what God says in His Word and gives them a chance. If they believe what's in there, then they'll be in heaven. So, principle. Salvation by works is a false gospel. Any system of salvation by works is a false gospel. No one can get to heaven by his own works. Salvation by works is self-righteousness. Salvation by works is arrogance. Another principle then, salvation by works is self-righteousness and arrogance. You're emphasizing who and what you are. You're emphasizing what you're doing. And that's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest what? Lest any man should boast." Boasting is arrogance. It's self-righteousness. You're emphasizing who and what you are. God does all the work. God gets the glory, not us. Principle, arrogance, and grace cannot coexist. Self-righteous works and grace cannot coexist. Grace. Nothing like that word, grace. Grace is God does all the work. We receive the benefit. Principle, salvation by grace through faith in Christ eliminates self-righteous arrogance and works. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ eliminates self-righteous arrogance and works. So then, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous by means of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, totally apart from the works of the law. Now, that brings us to verses 29 and 30. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ removes all racial issues. Now, this is going on in our society and our nation, and it's wrong. It's totally wrong. Everybody wants to play the race card. And all you hear now is race cards and white supremacy and this and that. Critical race theory and on and on and on. It's all wrong. That's all wrong. And when that goes on inside of a nation, that will destroy a nation. It's 100% wrong. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that in His Word. God doesn't play the race card. Don't you play the race card. God never plays the race card. So salvation by grace through faith in Christ removes all racial issues. That's verses 29 and 30. Romans 3:29. Is he the God of the Jews only? That's how Paul starts out. Is he the God of the Jews only? This is the disjunctive particle eta plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the genitive plural of eudaios plus the neuter of the adjective monos. The disjunctive particle eta looks like that in the Greek. That is a long E, eta. And the disjunctive particle is used to introduce a rhetorical question. It's correctly translated or. And then we have hatheos, the God. And then we have eudaios. Looks like that in the Greek, I-O-U-D-A-I-O-S, eudaios. And eudaios as an adjective means Jewish, but it's many times it's used as a substantive. That means it's used as a noun, and it means a Jew. We, in the plural, the Jews, and that's how it's used here. And then the neuter of the adjective monos, The adjective monos looks like this in the Greek, M-O-N-O-S. The neuter looks like this, M-O-N-O-N, monon. We have the neuter. And the neuter is used as an adverb, and it's correctly translated only or alone. So the corrected translation, or is the God, the God of the Jews only? Rhetorical question. Or is the God of the Jews only? And then Paul says, is he not also of the Gentiles? This is the negative uki plus the conjunction kai plus the genitive plural of ethnos. Uki looks like this in the Greek. That's O-U-C-H-I. Some of you think that's ouchy, but it's uki. And uki is the strengthened form of u. There's u. The strengthened form is uki. Uki is used as an interrogative word in questions that expect an affirmative answer. An affirmative answer. And then the conjunction chi, and this oftentimes is just connective. It means am, but not here. K-A-I. This is the adjunctive use of chi. And the adjunctive use is translated also. And then ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. Ethnos. Ethnos, this is the word, Greek word where we get our English word ethnic. And ethnos means nation, sometimes heathen, sometimes pagan, sometimes Gentiles. In our verse, it means the Gentiles. It means everyone who is not a Jew. So the human race is broken down here in two categories, Jews and everyone who is not a Jew, the Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. So this includes every person in the human race. Whatever your race is a non-issue. God never plays the race card, ever. Don't you play it. Don't ever play the race card. Or is the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's the God of the whole human race. Yes. And then he answers, yes, of the Gentiles also. Nai chi ethnon. The particle nai plus chi plus the gender plural of ethnos repeated. Now, nai N-A-I, nai, is a particle denoting affirmation, agreement, or emphasis. It's maybe translated yes, or indeed, or of course. Yes, indeed, of course. And then the conjunction chi, once again, is adjunctive, also. And then the genitive plural of ethnos, Gentile. So, the corrected translation says, or is the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course he is the God of the Gentiles also. One, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Two, therefore God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, and infinitely fair with all mankind. Therefore God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all mankind. Whether you're Jew or Gentile. I know when I was going to school, sometimes teachers will ask you, well, what nationality are you? So I went home and I wasn't sure. I said, Mom, a teacher wanted to know what nationality I was. Well, she says, on your father's side, you're Norwegian, Scot-Irish. And on my side, you're a mess. You're a slumgullion of about 30, 40 different things. And that's what a lot of you are, a mess. That's nothing wrong with that. By the way, you're probably healthier because you're a mess. That's true with dogs anyway. If you want a dog that doesn't get sick and die on you after a couple of years, don't get a purebred. Through a purebred inbreeding, breed over and over, why you'll get all kinds of problems. But you want a dog that will live and be as healthy, then get a Heinz 57. You don't know what the hell it is. That'll be a healthy dog and probably bite everybody it sees, you know. So. Those are good dogs. And I've had Heinz 50s. you had to see it to believe it. Nobody knew what kind of a dog that was. So three, God does not play the race card with the human race. God doesn't do that. God does not play the race card with the human race. Four, in Operation Grace, that's God the who designed Operation Grace? God the Father. God the Father designed Operation Grace. Operation Grace is the cross. In Operation Grace, the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all the sins of the Jews and for all the sins of the Gentiles. In Operation Grace, the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all the sins of the Jews and all the sins of the Gentiles. Five, therefore, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will never perish, but will have the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. Justification by faith. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will never perish, but have the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness, justification by faith. So, God doesn't play the race issue. When Jesus Christ left heaven on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, everybody's getting all cranked up before Thanksgiving is over. Christmas lights are already going up. And for a couple of weeks, they try to be nice to each other. From this church, you understand that you ought to have Christmas every single day. You ought to have Christmas every day. You ought to have Thanksgiving every single day. That's God's plan. God's plan is a phenomenal plan for you to give you so that you can have grace and Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. When Jesus Christ left heaven and took on true humanity on that very first Christmas, it was so he could go to a cross. And he willingly went to the cross. And he's the omniscient God. He knows every member of the human race. And he willingly went to the cross, willingly took the sins of everyone. Everyone, every member of the human race who has ever lived, he took all of them. And he willingly took the judgment for them. And then, having paid the penalty for the world's sins, he offers the gift of eternal life and his righteousness to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in him. God the Father didn't play the race card. Jesus Christ did not play the race card. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, available to everyone in the whole world. Don't you play the race card either. And that's about all we see in our society today, and it's destroying our nation. I love our nation. I love that flag and what it stands for. I love the freedoms it stands for. But we're destroying our nation. Every time you turn around and play the race card, there's no call for that. And when you're out there witnessing for Christ, you don't decide ahead of time, well, I'll give the gospel to these people. They look like they'll believe in Christ, but I don't want to give the gospel to those people. I hope they go to hell. You know, you ever think like that? Don't think like that. I've been around people that I knew, that person standing in front of me was responsible for burning down the football stadium at Washington State University. I knew exactly who it was. Most of the people on campus were scared of him. And I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and I said, do you mind if I talk to you about the most important person in my life? He said, no, that's okay. It's Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he was thinking about you and me and for the whole world. And he took your sins and my sins and the world's sins, and he took the judgment for them. Because he did that, he offers you a gift, eternal life, if you simply believe in him. God the Holy Spirit totally disarmed this guy. Totally disarmed him. He put his head down and he said, that's exactly what my mom tells me. I said, you have a great mom. Listen to your mom. I said, it's no accident that I'm in line right behind you. God wants you to hear this again. You believe in Christ, you will live with God forever in heaven. Now, there's a lot of people I know that wouldn't even talk to this guy. They just assume he'd go to hell. You don't decide that. You don't know who's going to believe in Christ and who is not. There's a lot of people I think, oh, they're going to believe in Christ. They never do. Then there's some people I think, oh, they will never believe in Christ. And I give them the gospel and they believe right now. God doesn't play the race card. Don't you play the race card. You be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You proclaim the grace gospel, and you never know. God, there are no accidents in the plan of God. When people come into your periphery, God ordains and sets that all up so that you can have an opportunity to serve him and present the grace gospel to that person. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ. And they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question. It's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in him, there's the gift of eternal life. For the one who rejects him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father, that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank you, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping in the Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.